All right. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the January 31st session of the Portland City Council. Commissioner Saltzman is ill but wishes to participate by telephone. So I want to read this statement that authorizes him to do that remotely, since that's an exception in our process. Commissioner Saltzman indicated that he wishes to participate in today's meeting by telephone. Failure to allow participation of an absent city council member by electronic communication would jeopardize the public interest, health, safety, or welfare. Do any of the council members who are physically present object to having Commissioner Saltzman participate by telephone? Assuming no one objects, then we'll proceed and ask the council clerk to call in the absent commissioner to the hearing, as well as calling the roll.
Fritz?
Here.
Fish?
Here.
Saltzman?
Here.
Novick?
Here.
Hales?
Here. Welcome. Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you, Mayor Hales. It is we need to read the title. Thank you.
Item 98, authorize changes to the city code to require protected sick time for employees of businesses working in the city of Portland and enter into a contract with Oregon State Bureau of Labor and Industries for enforcement.
Thank you. It has been a privilege to work on this proposal for bringing earned sick leave to our community. As many of you know, I'm a retired registered nurse and also spent 17 years volunteering in Portland Public Schools. So I'm very well aware of the challenges of working with people who are sick or caring for sick children. And now, having been in office for 4 years, the challenges of being an employer where sick people in the workplace can impact our customers and also impact others in the workplace. 145 of the 196 countries in the world provide paid earned sick time. So for those who have been asking why now, my question is, why has it taken us so long? Employees are the heart of a business, and it's important for both employers and employees that the workplace be a place where everybody is treated fairly and where there is mutual respect, both of employers for their employees and also of employees doing a good job on recognizing that their work contributes to the success of the business. Earned sick leave recognizes that a healthier workplace is also a more productive one. Approximately 40% of employees in Portland currently lack even one day of paid sick time. That means that 60% already have paid sick time. So it's not a radical concept. It's something that we need to be talking about and providing for all. Workers who don't have protected sick leave are predominantly low-wage earners and people of color. And it's essential that we bring this right to a city that has made equity a cornerstone of its future planning. I'm happy to see that we have so many people here today on all sides of this issue. So here's what we're going to be doing. My staff will give us an overview of the code and ordinance. Then we'll have a few invited guest speakers and then go to public comment. And the way we'll do that is to take four who've signed up in support or with questions and then four who've signed up in opposition or with questions on that sheet. And we'll try to get to that as expeditiously as possible. But first, I introduce Tom Bizot, my chief of staff, who's done a lot of work on this proposal, who will walk us through it.
Council members, looks like I better get this even further away. My name's Tom Bizot with Commissioner Fritz's staff. I'm here to just give you an overview. It's going to be a lot of these. A lot of the facts and information that you've seen here will be something
people
you...
People hear, Tom?
No,
we can't hear.
Try pulling it closer and she'll change the level, Tom. See if we can...
I'm getting kind of afraid of this microphone here. Can you hear me now?
There we go. I've heard that expression.
Just
that
sounds
there,
like and a... then Carlo.
Right. Okay. All right. So I'm just going to go through this PowerPoint. I'll go through it pretty quickly. A lot of the information you've already seen and you already know about. So it'll if any of the council members have questions of me during the course of this, please just stop me and ask. Is this going to work? Can you hear me? Okay. Can everybody hear me? All right. Up? You need it up there? Okay.
All right. technical difficulties.
I know Commissioner Fish is enjoying this. Okay, I'll just start in here. The purpose of protected sick leave, to establish minimum public health standards in the workplace. Basically, working while sick is a public health issue. Maintain workplace productivity. Working while sick affects individual and collective productivity in the workplace. And to help prevent spread of disease throughout our schools, sick children compromise the health of other families and ultimately the workplace. So I'm going to give you some general facts about businesses and sick leave, and this is something that the commissioner already covered. Approximately 60% of the employees in the Portland area receive some sick leave, which is actually a really laudable aspect of our community and our area. 40% of the employees that receive no sick leave are disproportionately people of color and earning minimum wage. Nationally, only 1 in 5 of the lowest income workers have paid sick leave. And restaurant employees and childcare workers are the least likely to have any kind of paid sick leave. You can kind of get a picture of this with this table on occupations. This is by no means a complete table, and there's all kinds of occupations out there, and they all vary in terms of the percentage that get sick leave and don't have sick leave. These are some of the ones that were mentioned. And note that this table actually comes from information in the Clackamas, Multnomah, Washington County area. So this is taken from a larger profile. Parents without sick leave are twice as likely to send a child to school. It is estimated that approximately $160 billion is annually lost in terms of sick costs. And approximately, this is what the commissioner mentioned, 145 out of 196 countries have some form of mandated sick leave. The United States is not one of them. And the other major cities that have done this, San Francisco in 2007, Washington, D.C. in 2008, and Seattle in 2012. Now, the state of Oregon and the federal government have a form of protected sick time. It's in what's called Oregon Family Protected Leave and Federal Family Protected Leave, and the OFLA and FEMLA. And those provide protected sick time. It's unpaid protected sick time, and it's in larger companies. In the state of Oregon, it's 25 and above. And in federal law, it's 50 and above, 50 employees above and 25 employees above. So we'll go into some of the elements of the ordinance that we have proposed before you. All employees who would work within the city of Portland would earn 1 hour protected sick leave for every 30 hours worked. In businesses with 6 or more employees, the earned sick time is paid at the employee's base hourly rate. In businesses with 5 or fewer employees, this earned sick time is unpaid. So that means it's earned, but it's unpaid. And when an employee has worked 240 hours and accrued 8 hours of protected sick time, they are then eligible to begin using it. If you take that 240 hours and divide it by 30, which is 1 hour of sick time earned for every 30 hours worked, that's how you come up with 8 hours. This particular point probably needs some work in terms of the ordinance, but that's what that basically is derived from. An employee can use a maximum of 40 hours of sick time in a calendar year in this proposal. And the unused sick time automatically rolls over to the next year. You can only use a maximum of 40 hours in a calendar year. businesses, a lot of businesses already provide sick
Tom,
time.
Let me just clarify something.
Yes.
On that, so you accrue up to 40 hours a year. It can roll over. You can't use more than 40 hours a year. Upon separation of employment for any reason, it has no cash value, correct?
Correct. No cash value. Though there is a provision in the ordinance that says if you come back to work within 6 months period of time, that you can still utilize your accrued sick time. Businesses already providing 40 hours of annual paid time off, and that's a term in the business, PTOs, they can also be used for medical leave. If it can be used for medical leave, then basically that business already has the provision and meets our requirements for sick time. So this details some of the uses that you can use the protected sick leave for: personal medical care for physical or mental illness, pregnancy and childbirth, and preventative health care. Preventative health care basically means if you need to go to the doctor and basically get a checkup, that you can actually do that, and there's some provisions for how to do that in the ordinance. Care of family members for the allowed uses. So if your family members are sick, you can actually spend that sick time for that purpose. And we have in here purposes described in ORS 659A 272, which is safe time for domestic violence, harassment, sexual assault, or stalking. We have someone here today who will be able to talk a little bit more about that.
How broadly do you define family members again?
Family members is defined by state law, and we will be using the definition in state law as to what a family member is. There is some... we need to take a closer look at that because there are some other definitions in OFLA and FEMLA that might slightly contradict or slightly be different than that, so we'll have to take a closer look at that. And then the final, well, not the final, but one another use that is allowed for, that you can use the sick time for, is quarantine or a closure of place of employment or school by order of a public health official. These are some additional provisions in the ordinance. Employees are not required to find replacement workers when they use the sick leave. If allowed by the employer, an employee who is sick may choose to trade shifts with another employee. So it has to be a mutual arrangement with the employer that allows this to occur, and we heard that this was quite a need in certain businesses. And rights and responsibilities for employees and employers are defined. They probably need to be defined a little more clearly in some areas, and we've gotten some good comments back on that. And but we're trying to basically provide for written documentation what abuse of sick time would look like, and shift trading and communication, and how that occurs. San Francisco paid sick leave. Sick leave is earned by all employees. I'm just going to give you a comparison of the two cities here, San Francisco and Seattle. Sick leave is earned at a rate of 1 hour per every 30 hours of work, similar to what we're offering. Employees in businesses with 9 or fewer employees can earn up to 40 hours per year, and employees in businesses of 10 or more workers earn up to 72 hours. 25% of all employees took no sick days last year in the San Francisco area. And the median use of sick leave in that city is 3 days per year. Seattle's sick leave is a little more complicated. It has a four-tiered approach. The first tier is that businesses with 3 or fewer employees are exempt. And then the second and third and fourth tiers are broken into small, medium, and large-size employers. The one common denominator of all of them is that they all are 1 hour earned for every 40 hours worked. They differ in terms of size, 4 to 49, and then how much you can accrue in each one of these size relationships. So 40 hours accrued for the small employer, 56 hours accrued for the medium size, and 72 for the large size employer. An achievement of healthy workplace does not come without a cost. In the U.S., we're trying to determine exactly what that cost would be. We've seen some of it in San Francisco here, and we kind of get an idea in terms of how much is used. U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics indicates that the costs are minimal, and in the Northwest area, businesses with paid sick leave devote less than 1% of their payroll to this expense. Each business will, of course, be affected differently based upon the different kinds of occupations that they have. There's a case example that we have, which is in San Francisco, and this was after the law had been put into effect there. And this is, of course, it's just one example, one type of business. Where they had 32 employees. They estimated that their costs would be $18,000 a year, and it turns out that their costs were around $2,000. So in terms of enforcement and education, we have in the ordinance specifications for brochures and mailings that we will actually do, that businesses will be required to do some posting requirements. We will adopt some administrative rules by August of 2013. And that we will have enforcement through a contract that's let with the State Bureau of Labor and Industries, BOLI, as it's called.
Tom, if I could, wasn't clear from the proposal whether there's a cost and what might be the range of costs for that contract, or whether that's something that the commissioner does as part of his overall statutory obligation to enforce the law. So is that addressed somewhere in your presentation?
In our discussions with BOLI, their costs are based on cost for service. Most of their costs, they actually they are paid for through the actual litigation proceedings and with the employer if that occurs. There would be some cost for the city of Portland, but it's as we have understood it in our discussions with them, it's minimal. In the financial impact statement that we submitted with this ordinance, that is the estimate. And it was based upon a contract which we had with BOLI previously on civil rights, and that it was very minimal in terms of the kind of enforcement that BOLI saw that they had to do within the city of Portland. Does that answer your question, Commissioner?
Yeah, for now, thanks.
This is just a quick overview. This is also in the financial impact statement, and I understand there's some letters that have been submitted by organizations that wish to have that kind of amended. But this is sort of a quick overview of what we did in terms of having intersected with a lot of the advocates and stakeholders, and this has been going on for over a year. And this is an example of some of the things that have happened in the community over that year's time. We've had surveys done. We've had a door-to-door canvassing and questionnaires. And we've met with advocates in meetings talking about different aspects of legislation. And there's been quite a bit of information that's been actually put out into the community in the last 4 or 5 months with regard to this situation and with this kind of issue. We've also had consultation with the Human Resources Department here in City of Portland, as well as with BOLI, as well as with the city attorney, and that's how we've crafted this ordinance with a lot of that input. January 17th, we put it out for public review. January 23rd, we held a public forum and had 65 people at it. It was a very good forum, a lot of good questions. And first public hearing, of course, is today. Additional public input will occur between February 1st through 27th. Commissioner Saltzman and Fritz will convene a task force for 3 meetings to discuss potential amendments prior to the February 27th council hearing. Task force suggestions will be posted by February 21st.
Can I just get a clarification?
Yes.
On that? Is the February 27th hearing a second first only? Of course, we could appreciate these nuances. Is it a second first reading or is it a second reading?
February 27th will be a second first reading.
Okay. So public testimony will be taken.
Public testimony will be taken.
Thank you.
Then there, and that's what this second public hearing is about. Council vote will occur in March. We are indicating it as March 6th right now. So implementation decisions and timelines is my last slide. We'll continue to lobby the state legislature to pass statewide earn sick leave law, which we believe is an important aspect of us being there promoting for a much wider and broader use of sick leave on a statewide basis. We think that's an important aspect, and the city has put that on their legislative agenda. After the legislative session concludes, we'll consider revisiting Portland standards just to see where it stands at that point in time. If Portland-only standards proceeds, we'll begin administrative rules process to probably early July to be finalized at least by August 31st. And then we'll conduct education and outreach to employers and employees at the last of the year prior to implementation on January 1st, 2014. That's the end of my presentation. If you have any questions for me, I'd be happy to answer them.
Thank you. We have a few invited panels, including some elected representatives, County Commissioner Deborah Carfori, and State Representatives Michael Dembro and Alyssa Kenny-Geyer. Thank you so much for being here. Commissioner Carfori.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Thank you for allowing us to testify today. My name is Deborah Carfori, and I'm a Multnomah County Commissioner. I'm also a mother, and this week my family had an unremarkable event. My 7-year-old daughter was sick, had a 102-degree fever, and needed to stay home from school for a couple of days. I luckily was able to stay home with her for one of those days. What is remarkable about this situation is that not everyone in our community has this same chance. And what's also remarkable about this is that those who are the most in need of this do not have it. The lowest paid, some of the hardest working people in our community, folks who work in our food service industry, folks who work with our children. So the fact that that not everyone in our community has access to paid sick leave affects all of us. One thing that you will hear, I'm sure, from folks today is that you should wait until, that this should be a state issue. This is something that should be handled at the state level. And I'm sure my colleagues here from Salem can talk about that as well. But as a former state legislator, I will tell you that the state of Oregon does not always do things in the most expedient fashion. And, sorry.
Hey. Tell she's a politician.
You have an opportunity today to do something remarkable, to actually take a stand that is going to be leading the path for the state to follow. There have been many cases where we have done this in Portland, and there are many cases ahead of us where we will do this again, I am sure, because you have the opportunity to make a difference in the lives of the people who live in Portland. I want to thank you, Commissioner Fritz, for bringing this issue forward. I know it's a very difficult issue, and you will hear a lot from folks who feel very passionately on both sides of this. But it is very important, and it is not every day as elected officials that you have the ability to take a stand on something that so dramatically impacts the lives of people in our community. Think of all the folks in our community who will be able to take advantage of this, who will change their lives. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Representative Dembro.
Thank you, Commissioner, Mayor Hales, other commissioners. I'm Michael Dembro, and I represent House District 45. That's Northeast Portland out to Park Rose. And I'm going to read a prepared statement coming from Representative Kenny Geyer and Senator Rosenbaum. Senator Rosenbaum wishes she could be here, but she's stuck down in Salem doing whatever it is that majority leaders do. So, and from me, of course, yes. So I'm going to read this prepared statement. Representative Kenny Geyer is going to come at it from a slightly different direction, and of course, we'll be happy to answer any questions. As Oregon state legislators, we applaud your efforts to pass a citywide policy requiring that all employers in Portland provide earned sick time. We have heard from businesses and employees in our districts regarding the urgency of such a policy. We are therefore working during this legislative session on a state-level policy that will provide this benefit to all Oregon workers. And by the way, I should also call out that there are a number of Portland area legislators that are working on this. I just specifically mentioned Representative Jessica Vega Peterson, who's here, and Brad Witt, who is on sick leave today, I think. We believe that passage of the strongest possible policy in Portland at this time will support and strengthen our efforts in Salem. Approximately 40% of Oregon workers cannot stay home from work to care for themselves or a sick child without losing needed pay or risking their job. The percentage is much higher among low-wage workers, since most lack the ability to earn sick leave. This is an equity issue that potentially affects the health of all Oregonians. The time has come to solve this inequity by requiring employers to allow their employees to earn sick time while they work. Policies like earned sick time sustain a strong and robust workforce and are an investment in our workers, in our public health, and in our local economy. We need an economy in Oregon that is built on thriving businesses, providing jobs that enable Oregonians to be good employees, reliable providers, and responsible caregivers. Thank you very much for moving forward with this ordinance now. We look forward to partnering with you to make sure that the legislation that we are sponsoring works seamlessly and effectively with Portland's earned sick leave policy. Thank you.
Mayor, if I could, I just want to acknowledge that Representative Dembro is my state representative, and my wife wanted me to put a special plug in to thank you for the work you're doing for higher education, for tuition equity, and for making sure that we maintain high standards of our faculty members. So thank you for all your good work.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Yeah,
thank
her. About, the thing about being a state legislator, you just can't go anywhere without getting lobbied by a constituent.
Representative Kenny Geyer.
Thank you. I'm Representative Alyssa Kenny Geyer. I represent House District 46, which is parts of Southeast and Northeast Portland. None of you are my constituents, so I get to ask you for something here. I just wanted to add a couple of things to what Representative Dembro has said. First, with my hat as a state legislator, I have a master's in public health. I have devoted my career to social determinants of health. And I have the great privilege right now of serving as the vice chair of the health committee in the legislature. And as you know, Oregon is really out ahead of the rest of the country in trying to deliver health care in a much more effective, patient-centered way. And a lot of that is really looking at how do we put more emphasis on prevention. And we're starting with the low-income population, the Medicaid population, the 600,000 people who are currently on Medicaid, many of whom live in this community. And when we talk about prevention, if we don't have policies statewide and or municipal policies that allow people to be able to stay at home, with the reality that most of those that don't have that choice are those low-income workers that are on Medicaid, we are never going to hit our goal of trying to reduce our increase in health care from 5.4% a year to 3.4%. That is the state's goal. We have $1.9 billion riding on that in the next 6 years. That's our MOU with the Centers for Medicaid and Medicare Services. And it's critical that we do everything, not just ask our health care providers to offer care in a more coordinated way, which we're doing and stepping up in a big way, but we really need to think really hard about how do we prevent illness from spreading? How do we allow people to be able to stay home so that they don't infect other people if they're working in the restaurant business or the food industry business, or if they're working with young children, or if they have children who are sick? Because when they can't stay home, those children go to school. We're in the middle of flu season. It makes no sense at all. So that's my legislative hat. Second hat I wanted to mention is I had the great honor also of serving on the Portland Children's Levy Allocation Committee. I want to thank you all for recently referring that back to the ballot for renewal. I think that's another way in which Portland has really shown great leadership in providing public-private partnerships in helping with those social determinants of health, keeping children healthy, and making sure that we do everything we can as a community to get them ready to learn in kindergarten. We know, again, that many of the kids who have high absenteeism rates, that sets them on a course for high school dropout, are not getting the support that they need. They have much higher rates of absenteeism. Again, you can tie this right back to the kind of employment policies we have. And at this point, I want to thank Commissioner Kefouri for serving on that allocation committee. I miss working with you on it. And then lastly, I just wanted to put my hat on as a mom. I have a husband that travels 50% of the time. I raised three children in this community. The youngest is now 16 and about to head overseas. I'll be an empty nester for the first time in a few days, which I'll start crying about if I focus on. But I've had the great fortune of working for companies like Hannah Anderson. I was the director of the Hannah Anderson Children's Foundation, trying again to support nonprofits in the community that were helping children. But that was one of the businesses that's known nationally for its great employment policies. And I was always lucky in every job I had to be able to stay home, to be able to do the right thing, to be with my kid, as Commissioner Kefouri was just describing, when they were sick. And so it is a huge public health issue. It's a huge equity issue. And I'm eager to work on this with my colleagues in the state, as we have started doing. Absolutely, it's a statewide issue as well, if we're going to hit those marks. But I really thank you for your leadership in initiating this at the city level.
Thank you very much, and I appreciate you being here. Representative Vega Peterson, are you available to? I didn't realize. See, this is the depth of concern that we have amongst our state legislators, is that somebody volunteered to come and be here in support. So as the first Latina ever elected to the Oregon State Legislature, congratulations. And
thank you.
If you'd like to speak to us, that'd be great.
Yeah, no, I appreciate this opportunity. I'm Representative Jessica Vega Peterson, and I represent District 47, which is in East Portland, Northeast and Southeast, Outer East Portland. And as you know, I mean, this is a district where we have some of the highest poverty rates in the city of Portland. My constituents are people who work, you know, at jobs where they're dealing a lot with the public. And so I just want to reiterate the words of my colleagues on that this is really a public safety issue. We're working with people who are the front line, working in the food service industry, working with the public we want to make sure that they have the policies that they need in order to take care of themselves and take care of their families so that they can, take care of themselves and also take care of the public so that we're not passing on these things. So I appreciate this, and I appreciate the opportunity that you guys are having in Portland being a leader on this issue.
Thank you so much, all three of you, for being here. Our next panel is Dr. Gary Oxman, who is with Multnomah County Health Department, and also Justin Denny, who's it's Dr. Oxman's last day, I understand, today with the Multnomah County Public Health Department, and Dr. Denny is his replacement. We have Julia Olson from the Oregon Law Center, and Bill Dickey, who's a business owner here in Portland.
Welcome.
Good afternoon. I'm Dr. Gary Oxman, outgoing Multnomah County Health Officer, and I'd like to introduce you to my colleague and successor, Dr. Justin Denny. And we're going to say just a few words today about the relationship of paid sick leave to health issues. So I'd like to turn it over to Dr. Denny.
Certainly. Thank you, Mayor, members of the City Council. Pleasure to meet you. Dr. Justin Denny, new to the role in a few hours. Gary Oxman stepping down at 5 o'clock. And very happy to say a few words just from the scientific perspective on this matter. And I think the two strongest cases from a scientific perspective come from what we know from influenza and respiratory viruses in the setting of the schools. And what we've seen in Japan and in Israel are the studies showing that when sick kids are kept out of school, the community benefits enormously in the sense of it stops the spread arrests the spread or minimizes the impact in the community. And we have some good studies looking at this now since 2009. And so I want to point out that that's something we've learned from the World Health Organization and from other colleagues, CDC, to understand the impact in school spread, preschool as well as early years of primary school, where if sick kids are let to come to school, you have a big burden in the community, and it's just a major area where virus is spread is at the school setting. So the work we do in public health is really really hampered by not being able to limit kids or keep kids who are ill away from the classroom, and that's one of the things that I want to point out. The second is ill food handlers, and I think the Centers for Disease Control put out a report yesterday that up to 80% of the norovirus foodborne outbreaks, up to 80% are coming from ill food handlers, which is a shocking number, and you may have heard that many of our outbreaks currently in this community are coming from norovirus. And so I think one of the big concerns we have is to do our work successfully and effectively. We need to actually keep sick and ill persons away from school settings as well as handling food. And so we really want to implore this as a consideration when you're making a decision. Thank you very much.
I just wanted to add a little bit of a longer-term health perspective, and that's that there's very substantial scientific evidence that employment and the income it brings is a strong predictor of lifelong health in many different domains, and the evidence really points out that work is how most people get their money, obviously, intuitive, and that money is adequate to meet basic needs, food, shelter, housing, clothing, and various services that we need, and also access to health care and insurance. Work also meets very, very important psychological needs, a sense of purpose, a sense of identity, a social role as a provider for the family and other needs. So these are really parts of the experience of health in the community, and they also play out in terms of people's stress, and they play out in terms of how people acquire or don't acquire chronic disease and experience chronic disease throughout their lifetime. So you might be asking, where does sick time fit into this? Well, ability to take sick time is really about maintenance of employment. And what we experience all the time in the health department, particularly as we investigate communicable disease outbreaks in restaurants and other public accommodations, is we experience that a lot of people say they have been fired or they will get fired if they reveal their disease or if they take time off from work more specifically. And there's also scientific evidence to back this up. There was a study done by the Mott Children's Hospital at the University of Michigan, and they surveyed parents of kids who were 6 years of age and younger who were in daycare, and they found about a third of those parents, when they had to stay home, they had great concern about possibly losing income, but more importantly, possibly losing their jobs. So basically, the ability to take sick time supports employment. Employment supports lifelong health. Thank you.
Thank you for your service over many years. Are you going to be continuing on the Planning and Sustainability Commission?
Absolutely, ma'am. I just re-upped in the fall. So.
Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you.
Mayor Hales and commissioners, my name is Julia Olson. I'm a lawyer.
Bring the mic down just
sure. A little shorter here. My name is Julia Olson, and I'm a lawyer in the Portland Regional Office of Legal Aid Services of Oregon. Legal aid represents low-income Oregonians in a range of civil legal matters. Our mission is to seek justice for low-income vulnerable populations, and for many years we have served an increasing number of clients whose civil legal issues are related to domestic violence, sexual assault, and stalking. On behalf of Legal Aid, I testify today to urge your support of the proposed Earned Sick and Safe Days Ordinance. My comments will focus on the positive impact this ordinance will have on survivors and their families, coworkers, employers, and our community. The proposed ordinance allows survivors to take time away from work to seek help to become safer and allows them to use paid sick time or safe time rather than risk losing their jobs or financial security. We prioritize domestic and sexual violence in our office because we believe personal safety is a basic human need. Attorneys for our program have represented and advised victims in restraining order hearings, stalking order hearings, housing and employment discrimination cases, and unemployment hearings. These cases have made clear that victims of abuse face many barriers. In the employment realm, we know that domestic violence does not stay at home, and that protecting the safety and well-being of individual employees affected by violence and others in the workplace is an important public policy concern. The Oregon legislature in 2007 recognized the importance of this principle and passed by overwhelming majority a law that gives victims the right to take reasonable unpaid leave from work to take steps to become safer, steps such as to make a police report, to get medical assistance, to attend a court hearing for a protective order, to meet with a domestic violence advocate, or to relocate. Domestic violence is a barrier to health and safety for low-income victims who cannot afford to take time off, unpaid time off from work. Under state law, the leave is unpaid, and many low-income survivors cannot afford to take it without jeopardizing their ability to pay rent and meet their basic needs. I've spoken with clients, many who I've met with at the Gateway Domestic Violence Center, who have told me they have not been able to afford to spend a day to take a day away from work to attend a contested restraining order hearing. Earned safe days would keep survivors who are escaping violence from having to make this very difficult decision in terms of either protecting their safety or economic security for themselves and their children. That's sort of a catch-22 for many victims. We want to facilitate employees' ability to make the safest decisions, not only for themselves and their children, but for the safety of other employees and the safety of the community who may also be at secondary risk from violence. Thank you for the opportunity today.
Much.
You want to try the other?
Should I slide this over?
Yeah, it's probably safer.
Bill, before you begin, I have to ask, did you put enough money in your meter?
I actually have a commercial parking permit that costs $700 a year, and so I'm not affected by your unreasonable parking rates.
I know it's a sore subject. I know it's a sore subject.
I wanted to tell my other business people in this room that might think that I was just a mouthpiece for you folks, that last week I was ranting about my own
particular item. Well, I might have gotten that
item.
Email, so I've just given you a chance.
But there are some things we can all agree on, right?
So my name is Bill Dickey. I am the co-owner of Morrell, Inc. We're a commercial printing, direct mail, and promotional products distributor located in Northeast Portland. We have approximately 30 employees, 16 or so are covered by a union contract. My first reaction to this ordinance was that we probably already offered sick leave. And I knew that my salaried employees were not docked for when they missed a day, that they were all just getting their standard, you know, salary checks each pay period. But when I read my union contract, I was surprised to learn that we did not offer sick pay in our union contract. We offered earned vacation pay, holiday pay, and funeral pay. But and I was kind of surprised by it, but later that day I was listening to Commissioner Fritz on the radio, Think Out Loud, I guess, and I learned that as long as I offered paid time off, whether it be called vacation pay or whatever, that I was covered by this ordinance. And so I was pretty relieved because we offer 1 week's paid vacation or paid time off for an employee that works for us for 1 year, and it builds to 3 weeks over 5 years. The fact that the ordinance has a procedure for accruing the time off in the first year is kind of helpful because we've never really had a policy for how to do that, and it points out a rule, a way to do it, and so I kind of find that to be helpful. I've always believed that employees should stay home when they're sick. I want to avoid the flu or the common cold from rolling through the company whenever possible. But moreover, I think it's that employees should feel cool that they can just take a day off whenever they want. I don't particularly care what the reason is. I ask them on multiple occasions to put an extra effort in when I need them to, and when they have a reason to take a day off, regardless of whether it's a sick child, they need a day, you know, whatever. I just sort of appreciate the fact that they get that policy. I think it's, you know, the right thing. For people who, you know, generous business owners who are in this room today who feel this is government sort of, you know, reaching into their business and telling them how to do things, I think of it as this analogy, you know. All business people, business owners in the state or in the city have to provide workers' compensation insurance. It's a rule. It's an automatic thing that you have to do. But years ago, it was not a rule. It was not commonplace. And so, you know, like all things in government that happen when a new rule is established, it takes a time to get used to it. But, you know, then it just becomes commonplace. And you just, you know, 5 years from now, we'll just think that this is just the way it's always been done. And in my own benefit, I think that it's it's good that we have, that we'll all be playing by the same playbook. You know, so it sort of levels the playing field for those of us who have always offered it, and I think that's a good thing. The other thing, and this is, I guess if it was a court of law, it'd be hearsay testimony, but I often, you know, I spent 20 years in the restaurant business before I made my career change, and I often think of things from that perspective, and so I was sure that we offered paid time off at the Virginia Cafe in 1980, you know, when I was the store manager. So I called my former employer and said, hey, didn't we used to offer paid time off? And he said that my recollection is correct and that they do offer paid time off. And so I was glad to hear that because, one, my failing memory wasn't that bad, but also that, you know, their restaurants, although he would probably not appreciate the government telling him what to do, he, once again, is covered by this because he already offers earned sick time off and owns several restaurants in Portland. So I'm not testifying for him, but just making that comment.
Thank you very much, all of you, for being here.
Well, again, before you leave, I think we don't often encourage demonstrations in this chamber, but a demonstration of thanks and affection for someone who's been in public service for 28 years and served this county so well as our public health officer for the last 25, I think it's very appropriate for all of us to say thank you, Dr. Oxman. Thank you very much.
Mayor Harrells, members of the City Council, I thank you, and it has been a privilege to serve.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. And our final panel are really some of the people who, without whom that we wouldn't be here today, and that's the community advocates who demanded that we brought this forward and have done a lot of legwork. So it's my honor to invite up Andrea Peluso from Family Forward, Francisco Lopez from CAUSA, Lee Mercer from the Main Street Alliance, supported by Matt Ellison, a restaurant employee. And the block of wood slides as well.
Yes, okay. Welcome. Good afternoon, Mayor Hales and members of the City Council. I'm thrilled to be here today to talk to you about earned sick time. You know, right now, our country is facing historic income and wealth inequality. Wages at the bottom of the scale have been stagnant or only grown modestly over the past three decades. Wages at the top have grown significantly. We're seeing huge and growing gaps between the very rich and the very poor in this country. We're seeing job growth since the recession concentrated in low-wage occupations and much less growth in others. And without very careful intervention, this problem will only continue to get worse. A system built on this kind of inequality is not sustainable. It's not healthy. It's not economically or socially responsible. Portlanders care about sustainability. We've led the nation and the state as a green city with laws that reduce our environmental impact, that construct a walkable city, thanks to the efforts of many of you here, with a vibrant urban core. Issues of economic sustainability are the next frontier in the sustainability movement. Portland is a leader. We've led by passing protections before the state against discrimination in the workplace for sexual orientation. We led by passing smoke-free workplace standards. The state followed. In fact, we've led the state and the nation in a variety of significant ways, and paid sick time is no different. To the employers in the room and to those we've talked to over the course of the last year, I want to say that as an employer myself and as the daughter and wife of a small business owner and a principal in a small business, I have a good sense of your concerns. If you don't already offer paid sick time to employees in the way that will be required by the law, there will be costs to bear. But research and experience in other cities show that when balanced with the benefits this investment triggers, the net result is a positive one. Employers here who offer paid sick time can tell you about the improved employee retention, higher morale, a healthier workforce, and appreciative customers. Our community will also see benefits. Again, research shows that low-wage workers will see increased job stability, that we will see reductions in healthcare spending, that we'll see a reduction in the spread of illness. And something very important to Family Forward Oregon and child advocates everywhere, we'll see parents unafraid to stay home to care for their sick kids. This is a modest proposal, more modest than other cities have gone before us, and more modest than where we started in Portland. This proposal was heavily informed by the experiences of other cities, as well as by the feedback of employers and employees across the city. Our local business leaders know that the success of their businesses are tied closely to the economic circumstances of the people who patronize them. Unlike our bigger corporate actors in the economy, these local business owners are linked to our community. the people who live, work, and raise families here. By passing this law, we're addressing a community-wide problem with a community-wide solution. We're establishing a reasonable community standard whose time has come, one which says it is not acceptable that 84% of those earning in the top quartile of income earners have paid sick time, while only 18% of those in the lowest of our lowest paid workers do. It's one that acknowledges that those least able to afford unpaid time off also have the least access to healthcare services and the worst health outcomes. It's one that says that anyone can come and do business in Portland, but they should do so while also treating the people who live and work in this city humanely and by supporting our economy in a sustainable way. We know it's possible for businesses to thrive while focusing on multiple bottom lines. I'll close by saying with our support, I think we're putting a stake in the ground saying that we are part of a historic fight for what will someday be a national standard on sick time, that we are on the right side of history here, that we are putting a stake in the ground to say that we will be part of the fight against income inequality, that we will lead as we have before in creating a more sustainable and just economy, and where we lead, others will follow. Thank you.
Thank you, Andrea, and thank you for your personal leadership and coordination of the coalition on this.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Buenas tardes. Good afternoon, Mayor, City Commissioners. My name is Francisco Lopez, and I'm the director of Executive Director of CAUSA Oregon. CAUSA is a statewide Latino civil and human rights organization with offices in Portland, Salem, and Bend. But first, I would like to recognize CAUSA and vecinos and Alerta leaders and their children. They are in attendance. Please, stand up. Párense la gente de. Pónganse de pie y saquen sus rótulos. They brought a lot of their families and children and take them out of the school to be here. I'm here to speak about a very important equity issue, paid sick days. In and around Portland, more than 40,000 workers of color, workers of color don't have a single paid sick day from work to recover from common illnesses. At a time when families' finances are stretched and unemployment is high, no worker should lose critical or risk of being fired when they take time off to recover or care for a sick loved one. CAUSA is part of a broad alliance that includes labor, faith, and community organizations, sectors, and businesses that see this as a fundamental equity issue that is impacting many workers in Portland. Of those severely impacted are members of our Latino community. More than 55% of Latino workers in Portland do not get paid sick days. Portland has great restaurants. You know, when my friends come to the delicious organic food that we sell at the Portland restaurants, they compliment for they get quality of food. My friends always mention the great hotels, our funky hotels, our great pubs, cafes, clubs, and many other great places to have fun and enjoy brunch. I told you that brunch is a religious experience here in Portland. Nobody wanna miss brunch. But it's something that my friends do not know about Portland, that many waiters, waitresses, cooks, busboys, housekeepers, janitors, workers in manufacturing, and many others come to work sick because they do not get paid for sick day, because they are afraid of losing their job, and because losing day of work means that they will not have enough money to pay for rent or medicine. For many Latino families in Portland, even a few days of lost pay can equate to the entire monthly grocery or healthcare budget. In this economic climate, in which 20% of Latinos in the Portland area live in poverty, job-protected sick days are vital to the economic security of our Latino families. Providing sick days is actually good for business. There are reductions in turnover, increases in employee morale and productivity, and healthier employees at work. And before I end my remarks, I would like to mention what I mentioned last year when I came here. My appreciation to City of Portland Commissioner Amanda Fritz. You know, last year she came to and the mayor was there, and she came, you know, back from the room and at the sanctuary of St. Michael's Episcopal Church, and her tennis shoes running, she wanted to say something to 150 adults and 75 children at this Causa Leaders Assembly, that she will work with the City Council to pass earned pay sick days ordinance. This will be great for working class families in Portland. And Commissioner, let me give you thanks, and all of you in advance, for making sure that this is not a luxury issue. This is a basic human and civil rights issue. Thank you very much.
It's always hard to follow Francisco. So, Mayor Hales and City Council members, my name is Lee Mercer. I'm with Main Street Alliance of Oregon. We're a statewide small business organization with about 1,200 businesses on our roster statewide and about 300 in Portland. Main Street was an early partner in the coalition working on creating an earned sick leave policy in Portland. The coalition did extensive outreach to business organizations in Portland over the past year, including to Venture Portland, the Voice Business Alliance, the African American Chamber, the Alliance of Minority Chambers, the Northeast Neighborhood Business Association, the Oregon Restaurant and Lodging Association, and Portland Business Alliance. As part of Main Street's small business organizing model, I surveyed over 200 Portland businesses on policy issues, including benefits like sick leave, in neighborhood districts including Northeast Broadway, Lloyd, Hollywood, Beaumont, Brooklyn, Alberta Arts, Kenton, Mississippi, Interstate Corridor, Hawthorne, Martin Luther King, and some of Woodstock and Belmont. The benefits question I asked was, do you agree or disagree with this value statement? Small businesses care more about their workers than big chains do. Small businesses owners see their workers as family and want to treat them right, including offering benefits like health care and paid time off. In the final report off this survey, 350 Oregon businesses, including 200 in Portland, 79% agreed with this value of small business, with these small business values. This indicated to us that a strong majority of businesses really want to do the right thing by their employees. In many of these surveys, I then informally discussed what benefits the employer did offer. Based on these surveys, we scheduled one-on-one meetings with dozens of business owners across the city over several months and discussed in greater depth the types of benefits, especially paid time off, they offered or were considering offering. And we found a number who became interested in and engaged in the effort to develop a policy in Portland. We were also happy to see a number of small business owners and three business groups at the table for an initial work group convened by Commissioner Fritz with other stakeholders such as public health advocates, labor unions, and community groups to help draft the proposal currently in front of the City Council. For some final polling data that may be of interest in this discussion, I was surveying statewide this summer on questions dealing explicitly with earned sick time. In a sampling of 344 rural Oregon business, I asked, do you currently offer earned sick leave or other paid time off to your employees? This is Main Street businesses throughout rural Oregon. 80% did not offer paid time off. But when asked, would you support a sick leave standard for all employers? 46% would support a standard. 41% would oppose, and the balance were undecided. So more businesses in rural Oregon would support leveling the playing field on this type of standard. We never did this poll. We should have done it in Portland, but we haven't. But it just indicates to us that the values are there among small businesses to do the right thing. In conclusion, Main Street Alliance believes that our constituents, small businesses, really want to do the right thing by their employees, and we hope we can find a way clear in the upcoming conversations to achieve a sick leave standard for the benefit of businesses, workers, and the public health of Portland. And a final note, this is a report that we put out with the Voice Business Alliance last week that really outlines how the dollar cost benefits for businesses actually outweigh the benefits outweigh the costs of this policy. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mayor Hales and members of the City Council, thank you for the opportunity for me to share my views here today. My name is Matt Ellison. I work as a food service worker making minimum wage. I've served food while I had a fever because I do not have paid sick leave. This legal protection is so important for minimum wage workers because we are in no financial position to accept any cut in pay. Working at minimum wage, I can't afford to move out of my parents' house. But for those of my coworkers who are parents or single parents, the situation is much more serious. They regularly face a choice between working sick and accepting one day's less pay on a small paycheck that must support a whole family. These coworkers of mine are why I'm testifying today. It is immoral for people to have to choose between working sick and having one last day's wage to clothe their children, pay the bills, and keep food in the fridge. I hope you will do the right thing and pass the sick days